Amen. If you would, we're going to start there in John chapter 15. My brother-in-law was telling me about different embassies around the world. I don't know if it was a journalist that he was listening to or reading, but this journalist was saying, as he travels the world and sees different embassies for different countries, there's something special about the United States America embassies in different places around the world. Quite often, there's a long line there. People hoping to get a chance. Is there any way I can get into America? He says it's pretty interesting. The other embassies, it's not the same way. We have something special here. And it is because of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the more we try to pretend, we tell ourselves a lie that we prefer, that whatever greatness we have in this country is because of our own merit instead of God's mercy, the more we lie to ourselves, the more we slip away from what has enabled us to be great at all. It is by God's mercy, by His grace. We're going to talk about grace today. And boy, we Americans, we like that idea of get her done, right? If it needs done, we're going to get it done. And today I'm going to talk about without me, ye can do nothing. And the American Christian needs to remember that without him, we can do nothing. Nothing. The American Christian needs to realize America, we're going to make it happen. And sometimes it gets us messed up. Because as the American Christian, we need God. If it's going to get done, it's going to be God doing it through us. But it's God doing it. There in John 15, it says the very first verse, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Boy, the different parts of the Godhead are there, huh? We're plugged into the Lord Jesus. He's the true vine. The one tending the vineyard is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And that's simple horticulture, right? If you have a plum tree, and we have these yellow plums growing up in Utah, and people from the church heard about our plum tree, they would ask, could we come by your house and get a bag of those yellow plums from your tree? And it was fun that we had something that people were interested in, and Dad would cut it back, he'd prune it, and then the next year be just so weighed down with these sweet yellow plums. But how foolish would it be to snip a branch and take it into our kitchen because we don't want to make the long trek to the backyard to get those plums? We'll just take a branch into the kitchen and set it there on the counter. That way we'll have plums more nearby that we can enjoy instead of going all the way up to the plum tree. Well, we know that branch won't be able to bear plums anymore if it's detached from the tree. Without the vine, that plum, that branch, without the vine, without the trunk, that branch can do nothing. Even if it was a good American branch that just decides by sheer willpower, I want to get it done. Doesn't matter. Willpower won't change a thing. Without being plugged in, it can't do anything. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Even with American willpower. Without Christ, we can't do a thing. So today I want to talk about without me, ye can do nothing. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. I just pray that you'd... Lord, I'm excited about this thought, but I need your help to deliver it. Lord, I pray that you speak to me as you already have and through me to the folks that are here, Lord. We need to hear from you. And Lord, help us to see the importance of being plugged into you, abiding in you, and not just see the importance, but know how we can make it happen, how we can be plugged into you and rely on you and letting you and your desires flow through us. I pray that you be with this time now. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the devil, he is so clever. The unsaved, he wants them so intoxicated with the pleasures of this world that they can't see what God has to offer. Praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit does his work. He brings that conviction from time to time so that the lost can see through the glitter of this world and see that there's an end to it. There's an emptiness to it. And they can see what God has to offer. The devil wants the believer to be the same. You know, following God is better, but following the world is easier. Can I say that again? Following God is better, but following this world is easier. A lot of times we're tempted. And now the Bible does say in Proverbs 13:15, the way of transgressors is hard. Boy, on the long road, boy, following God, oh, it's a much better way. But on the short term, it seems so much easier to allow myself to take those blessings the devil has to offer. Following God is better, but following the devil is easier. Boy, the world offers those immediate gratifications. Thursday night, Dr. Schreiber was preaching about the young people with those Tootsie Rolls and the ones that could have two Tootsie Rolls right away or wait and have more Tootsie Rolls later. And some couldn't wait. And they studied those children to see how their lives would turn out. And the ones that could control themselves and say, no, I'll wait for something better. Those were the ones who by far had the better life. To be able to say no to the devil's immediate gratifications and trust God for his blessings down the road is far better. If you go down into the bookstore, I think you get the now and later candies, right? The now and later. And sometimes, boy, you come to church and you say, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to enjoy his blessings. Young man, you're going to say, I'm not going to fool around with that young lady. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to wait for that wife that God wants to give me. I'm going to wait. But boy, as you wait and you trust God, oh, the devil says, that's good. Now and later. Boy, later you can have God's blessings and maybe now you can have some of mine. What's so awful about enjoying some of each? But you know, we want God's love to constrain us. Oh God, that love that constrains us. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Would you hold me back? Would you hold me close? I can enjoy your love now and your blessings later. Help me to say no to what the devil has to offer. But then the grace of God comes up. I'm under grace. God wants me to have what I want right now. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. How sad that you would ever bring up God's grace as an excuse to go after this world. God's grace is an enabling power. Why would we need enabling from God to settle for the blessings of this world? It doesn't make any sense. We all enjoy a good lie, though. We want to make sure we're in God's word, listening to the preaching, so that that lie that we want to swallow so badly, God protects us from that thing. We pray that prayer, hopefully, often, right? When ye pray, say, well, part of that model prayer is deliver me from evil. The lies that I'm going to want to swallow, because it will tell me that I can have what I want. After all, I'm under grace. Did you open the Bible and find out what that means? No, I want to define it for myself so I can have what I want. If the devil can't get the believer to live a life of worldliness, then he will try to get the believer to serve God in his own strength. He knows better than many of us that without Christ, we can do nothing. And that's what we're talking about today. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you're a believer, God made you for work. You were made for work. So, I brought some work gloves. All right, here they are. These work gloves, man, they were made for work. All right? These were my work gloves for being on the Sunday school bus. It doesn't matter how careful you are when you do the pre-trip, when you open the engine compartment and go in there without gloves on, somehow you're covered in grease. And it's just like, what am I going to wipe this on? And the paper towel doesn't quite get it all off. And boy, it's nice to have a pair of work gloves there. You can throw these on, especially in the winter, when on top of trying to keep your hands clean, your hands start to get freezing cold. So work gloves, these were made for work. Work gloves, made for work. And you and I, Christian, we were made for work. All right, the Bible says so. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So let's consider the work glove for just a moment. It was made for work. Boy, in construction projects, work gloves protect the fingers and the hands for a wide variety of on-site injuries that can protect from, help protect from cuts and abrasions. If you're working with chemicals, you want to protect your hands from chemical exposure, or if you're an electrician, it's nice to know that you're not going to get shocked through those gloves. Hand injuries send over 1 million U.S. workers to the ER annually. Only back strains and sprains account for more days away from work. Hand injuries are constantly causing people to get off the job. Construction gloves are not optional. They're essential PPE, somebody was writing. The personal protection equipment. And you also need the right glove for the right task. Not every glove, just because it's a work glove, doesn't mean it's suited for the work that you're doing. You want the right fit. You don't want that glove that's too small, right? You've all been there where you're trying to get that glove on that's too small. You're trying to think smaller thoughts. It's not working. I can't get this glove on. And then we've all had gloves that are too bulky. This is too big for what I'm trying to do. It limits my dexterity, what I'm trying to do here. You want as full a range as motion, full a range of motion as possible. You know, so people, there are people that design the work gloves. They'll study the type of work that needs to be done. They'll get the ins and the outs of that work and design a pair of work gloves uniquely suited to that work. And then they'll sell them. Comfort is often a consideration. And then the right application. Sometimes if it's a general contractor, boy, he might be involved in different types of construction. He's going to have different types of gloves that he'll have in his truck depending on what he's going to be working on. How durable are my gloves? How durable do they need to be? If you're working with concrete or you're going to be carrying those cinder blocks, what kind of gloves would you want for that type of work? You're an electrician. What type of glove would you want to have for that type of work? You're going to be out in the cold weather. What type of glove do you want for that? How about hazardous chemicals? What type of glove for that? We have different people in here that have worked in hospitals.